Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. And then, of course, then you're welcome to chime in and ask questions or make comments to our guest this morning. That number, if you want to jot it down now, is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. Now, we've kind of promoted this particular talk show because it's so close to Halloween, as there's someone here looking for your blood. But don't be afraid. No, there is no reason to fear. You can even keep the kiddies around. And as we welcome to the microphones, are you ready for this, folks? Ace Ventura, and you are not a pet detective.
That is correct.
Welcome to the microphones of KAJO.
Hey, well, thank you for having me.
And you know how hard it was to not use that phrase.
No, you're totally fine. I was kind of...
We'll probably sneak in before the show is over.
I would love that. Go ahead.
All right. Ace, you're with the Red Cross. We have some blood drives going on right now. And as a matter of fact, they're getting underway at 10 o'clock this morning out at the RCC Student Center. And that goes on until this afternoon, and we'll give you more information on that. But you can jot down, or you can go online and check at redcrossblood.org. All right. Why should I do that?
Why should you give blood? You know, that's a great question. When I was growing up and I had a bad day, I'd go to my mom and be like, Mom, buy me some ice cream. I had a bad day. Something bad happened. And my mom quickly taught me a secret to life that it didn't really become apparent until later on. She said, go do something nice for someone else. And I was like, wait, no, I want ice cream. Right? Long story short, I remember going to the store and buying her a card and drawing this little stick figure guy with long arms and saying, I love you this much, and giving it to my mom. To this day, it's the biggest thing that she remembers from my childhood, and it's one of the biggest things that I remember growing up. And it's because of the joy I felt for making her day. You know, I gave her the card. She was like flabbergasted, right? As a kid, she didn't expect that. And she cried. And it's probably one of the only times I've ever seen my mom cry. My mom was a single mother. She always tried to play both roles and be tough. And, you know, so to see her cry to me was very impactful. And I know that that small gesture had a big impact on her. So why donate blood? There are folks in need out there right now. At hospitals, there are families holding their loved ones and praying that the blood they need shows up. You have children facing cancer, battling leukemia and different ailments. You have mothers giving birth and losing too much blood. And the only way to save that life, to keep that life going, to give a second chance at life, is by volunteer donors. We don't have a way to make synthetic blood. The only way we can provide blood for those folks right now at those hospitals is by folks going in and donating blood. So why do it? Because it's the right thing to do. Because there might be a moment in time in your life where you might need it. And statistics show that about 60% of people within their core family at some point are going to need blood.
Oh, all right. It's going to hurt.
Well, first of all,
they're going to stick me with a needle.
Right. The next thing I did want to add, you know, as a long-term vampire with the Red Cross, blah, 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 yeah. Right? I've been on this earth for 500 years, so that's why it's important that you continue to give blood to us vampires so we can live.
You wear it very well.
I hear that a lot, and I'll be honest, I was one of those people that was terrified. I had a really bad situation when I was a kid getting a vaccine. I'm going to do the Forrest Gump thing, but I got shot right in the buttocks, right? And it hurt pretty bad to the point where they must have hit a nerve or something, but I had to be on crutches for a few weeks just to be able to walk. So that situation kind of stayed with me my whole life. And so anything having to do with needles, and you see those vaccine needles, they're long and they got to get them all the way in there. That's scary. Those images stayed in my mind my whole life. So great thing is, today we're at RCC. My first blood drive ever was at RCC.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have I been at this?
Only a few years.
Okay.
I'll give you a little lead-in story if that's okay.
Sure. Go ahead.
I was a business marketing major, focused on my life. I wanted to be like a Wolf of Wall Street kind of guy, you know, briefcase, big office, lots of money. And I chased that dream. Very early on in my life, I had a lot of success. But I wasn't happy. It also got to a point in my life where things just started falling apart. Money wasn't doing it. My marriage was falling apart. I wasn't there for my kids, because I kept focusing on the next number, right? On the next paycheck, on the next, you know, goal. And I was sad. I was depressed. It led to a divorce and many other things. And I kind of had to hit the reset button in life and really introspect on what was important, right? I realized money wasn't doing it. Not that there's anything wrong with money, but I think it was that pursuit of thinking that that was going to solve everything, right? So I came here to Southern Oregon from California many years ago now, and I wanted to reset. So I actually went to RCC to kind of figure out and find myself again. Pretty interesting, right? And I went and started taking classes for nursing school. There was a track that I could do to become a nurse practitioner. So I wanted to do that, and I joined leadership. Somebody walked up to me and said, hey, why don't you join leadership? And I was kind of in that mode where I promised myself that I'd try new things. And I said, sure, why not? I get into leadership. They go, hey, we're having a blood drive. Anybody want to volunteer? Nobody raised their hand except for me. I was like, I'll do it as long as I don't have to give blood. And they were like, great. So I went around, signed up students, staff, tons of people. And the day of the drive came. So people started donating blood, and I was kind of standing around just watching things go right in that student center where the blood drive is happening today. And lots of the students are coming out like, yeah, you know, they overcame their fear of needles. And so there was like this excitement, right, after they donated, of just feeling like, wow, I did it. I overcame that fear. And here we are. But they started asking me when I was going to donate, and not wanting to fess up to the fact that I wasn't going to or had no intention because I was terrified, I kept making excuses. I kept saying, oh, it's kind of busy right now. I'm going to wait till it calms down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the one
you
of the
can always find an excuse,
right? Got two of them and they both stink. That's what my old boss used to say. All of a sudden, one of the phlebotomists kept overhearing me give excuses. And obviously, I didn't want to tell people I was scared to do it, because many of them were scared to do it, and I talked them into it. So, right, fessing up to it would be like this total shot in the foot. And not to say that it was right, but, you know, I was scared. I was legitimately scared. I had fear. And suddenly, Judy Pierce Meads, this phlebotomist that retired about a year ago or so, goes, Ace, I didn't know you were waiting to donate. Come on over. And I turned pale. I felt like I floated over like a vampire to her across the room. She sat me down, and I can't tell you what happened because I don't remember. I just kind of remember going through the motions, doing everything she asked me to do, but feeling this surreal feeling like this is really happening. I got on the bed and I asked her, please don't tell me what's going on. If you can just take care of everything and not ask me to participate, I would appreciate it. Because I'm terrified, and I feel like I'm going to pass out. I get on my phone, I start texting friends and family, like, hey, I'm donating right now in case something goes wrong. Like,
last will and testament.
Right, because in my mind, something terrible was going to happen. I would likely pass out, hit my head on the ground, ambulance were going to have to come get me. Who knows, I might get a hematoma, pass away. Terrible thoughts were going through my mind. It's crazy how fear can overtake the mind, right? And so she goes, great, I can do that. No worries. I got you. So some time goes by. I get on my phone and I start posting pictures on Facebook and texting people like, hey, keep coming into the blood drive. We still need a few more donors. Some time passed and I realize, okay, enough time has passed that probably we're getting close to the end here. So I go, hey, Judy, can you let me know when you're going to take the needle out? And she goes, yeah, sure. By the way, you've been done for like 10 minutes. I look at my arm, it's bandaged up, it's got that little red Coban on there, and I'm like, wait a second, I'm okay. I feel fine. I stand up in the chair, I mean in the bed, and I still feel fine. I take a couple steps and I feel great. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting, I'm okay. Nothing happened to me and it didn't even hurt. Now you asked about pain, right? First of all, only a little tiny piece of that needle actually goes into your arm. We use the antecubital area, which is like the inside part of your elbow. And probably the little point of a pen is actually what goes into your arm. and it's like a centimeter worth that actually pokes in there, and it doesn't come straight down in. It comes smoothly, kind of parallel to the arm almost. And so you, if you pinched the inside part of your arm right now, that's about as most as you're going to feel. You feel nothing. There's not a lot of nerve endings there that are going to cause pain for you. So it actually is painless, believe it or not. I know other people get blood taken out of their hands and all these other different places, or they're thinking about when they get an IV and how painful that is. Of course, you get something in your hand that has a lot of nerve endings because we're supposed to feel things through our hands. It hurts. This is nothing like that. A few days later, well, no, let me, not a few days later, a few weeks later, I get an email from the Red Cross, and they say, hey, your blood was used at this Children's Cancer Center in Bend, Oregon. And that's when they had me sold. Not only did that day did I overcome this fear of needles, but then it became real that my blood saved somebody's child. My blood made a difference. And I said, wow, not only did I overcome a fear, not only did I find fulfillment in doing something for others, but it, it actually impacted someone else's life. There's a family, there's parents that were jumping for joy that their child is okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
It's time to get ready.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Our guest is Ace Ventura. Yes, he wants your blood for the American Red Cross here. And there's a blood drive going on right now out at the, well, not right now. It gets underway in about 12 minutes at the Student Center and the RCC campus here. And we'll go to about 4 this afternoon. I think that's the, and there's some other places, too, that we'll certainly share with you. But we're going to talk to Ace, who's with the Red Cross. Tell me, first of all, about the blood supply and why we have the a constant need here. We here in our newsroom, we get lots of information from the Red Cross, just blanketed out, says we need more blood. What is the blood supply like? How long does blood last? Take me through that scenario here.
Okay, so as far as blood, it doesn't last indefinitely. Obviously, different components of blood last a different amount of time, up to, you know, maybe a year, 4 to 12 months, depending on what blood component we're talking about. The point is, only about 3 to 4% of the population donate blood. And every day, hospitals are needing blood. Every 2 to 3 seconds, someone is needing a blood transfusion. And there's accidents where sometimes folks are needing multiple units, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 units of blood to keep them alive. Because they consistently bleed out or there's some other underlying issue. So the need for blood is constant. And unfortunately, what we're finding nowadays, COVID had a huge impact on our donor supply, on donors coming out to donate. It disrupted it, first of all. It kind of put us in the hole as far as the blood supply, and we've been playing catch up. And there's moments where we have enough blood. But unfortunately, when disasters happen like the hurricanes, different circumstances. During the summer, we see a decline where colleges and high schools provide 25% of the blood we collect total in the nation, and they're out of school. So during the summers, we see a huge fall in donors due to just losing the high schools and colleges during the summertime. Unfortunately, during that time is when we need the most amount of blood. People are going out on vacations. Things are happening. People are taking time off work and engaging in possibly riskier behavior, going out hiking.
Going out on those adventures.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Something happens.
Right. And so we see a spike in the need, but donors coming in to donate, we see a drop in decline. And so just this last summer, we were on a national appeal, and that happens quite often. So the blood needs to consistently come in. And as the population continues to grow, the need grows, right? And what we're seeing now, especially after COVID, is the donor supply isn't quite keeping up as much. And we have our older folks that have been donating for, I run into folks that are 90 years old that donate blood. And actually one of them who's just a great guy, I'm not going to name his name, but he's 91. He comes into the blood drive and he's joking and having a great time. And I'm like, how do you do it? I didn't believe it till I saw his date of birth on the computer. And I'm like, how? And he said, well, one of the things is donating blood for the last 50 some odd years. You know, giving that blood kind of makes his body keep working at creating and producing new blood cells. So it's one of those things, like, you're either consistently working and growing or you're
not,
or you're not, right? So, donating blood kind of forces the body to keep working, right?
And so it's healthy.
So it is healthy. You know, I'm not a doctor, so I can't speak to how healthy it is. For some folks, it's not a great idea. We do have folks that have low hemoglobin. And this is the part of the blood that's made up of iron. So a lot of folks that, you know, have anemia, it's not very smart for them to donate. The reason why is you need those hemoglobin cells in your body to get oxygen to your cells. And this kind of brings me to a nice segue to a story I have of a buddy of mine, whose son. Are we okay on time?
You're fine.
Okay.
I've got a button over here.
Okay, Mike. Awesome. So, here in Josephine County, I have a buddy of mine, who I ran into. I used to invite him to donate blood all the time. Huge guy, looks like a linebacker, right, for the NFL team. And, you know, I'd ask him to donate at my RCC blood drives when I was there at the school getting people to come and donate. And he would tell me definitively, no, I don't do needles. I ran into him a few months ago here at the Josephine County blood drive. And I see him on a bed. And I said, wait a second, what, you're donating? And I said, okay, it's probably because the lady who asked him was much better looking than I was. So he goes, no, actually, it's a long story, but it has to do with my son. And since I saw you last, I had my first son. And I said, oh, wow, well, congratulations, awesome. I have a minute. Do you want to share your story? Well, a few months before that blood drive, his son got deathly ill. Couldn't get out of bed, just really sick. They thought he might have some version of COVID. They kept sending him home like, hey, inconclusive, maybe it's just a really bad flu. Well, months passed by, and he kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Usually, you should have a hemoglobin count somewhere healthy-wise between 12 and 16. His child was in the very low single digits. And they didn't find that out until they went to the fifth doctor, pricked his finger. Now, what does that mean? Having that low of a hemoglobin count, you're breathing, but that oxygen isn't getting through your blood to your cells because there isn't enough of those carriers to carry that oxygen to your cells. It's kind of when people are anemic. Women know this a lot of times when they're low iron, they go, hey, if you just take some iron pills, your hair will stop shedding. And the reason that's happening is not enough oxygen is getting to those follicles. Your body starts to prioritize where it's sending that oxygen, and it's trying to keep you alive. So it's going to prioritize your organs, right? So skin sometimes can be damaged if you have low hemoglobin, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he was so low that his organ cells were starting to shut down.
Gracious.
And I don't know about you, but I thought about my son and how terrified I was as a first-time father when he just had a common flu. He said, you know, I didn't know what to do. I tried to comfort my wife, but I was scared myself for my son. And he said, I can't promise you I thought of you when they brought in the boxes of Red Cross blood to put it in my son's body. But I do remember how grateful I was that next morning when my son was back. When he was alive, when he was smiling at me, and he started getting color back in his skin, and he looked more like himself. He said, that moment after that, I said, you know, someone else took time out of their day to go donate blood so that my son can live. And he made a promise to himself, and he said, every single time I can donate, I'll start donating as well. And all right. Just a great story.
It is. And I suspect he's got some more of these folks. and we've got time to get to them. Right now, let's run down where you can give blood right now. Once again, the blood drive is taking place this morning at the Student Center on the Redwood campus. It's 3345 Redwood Highway, from 10 to 4 today. Now, walk-ins are welcome, but call ahead if you can. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit them online at redcrossblood.org. Now, tomorrow, the blood drive continues in White City from 10 a.m. to 3:30 in the A building on the Table Rock campus at 7800 Pacific Avenue. And on Thursday, that drive moves to the Higher Education Center on Riverside Campus at 101 South Bartlett Street in Medford. Once again, walk-ins are welcome. If I haven't given blood, that amazes me that 3-4%, only 3% of the population gives blood.
Right. Doesn't that sound just wild? And that's 3-4% of folks that can donate. We're not counting folks that are too sick to be able to donate or don't have enough hemoglobin. We're talking about folks that are able to. Only 3-4% of actual United States Americans are able to actually donate. U.S. citizens, yes. All right.
There are other reasons why you shouldn't, in particular. Tell me about high blood pressure.
So high blood pressure, and there, I'm glad you brought this up because there are some, some urban legends, right? Or things that have changed over time.
Okay.
A few things like tattoos. Back in the day, it used to be if you got a tattoo, you couldn't donate blood. And the reason for that was, hey, what if there's an infection in the blood? We don't want to use that blood, right? We want to make sure that blood is safe to give to someone else.
Yes.
Nowadays, due to upgrade in, use of needles and a lot of the, a lot of the regulations and guidelines make it safe for someone to actually get a tattoo same day and donate the same day. Now, caveat, you can't get it in the antecubital area because we won't stick you if you have a wound in the area we're going to put the needle. One. Two, it has to be at a licensed location. You can't say, hey, I got it done in my Uncle Joe's basement or I'd stick and poke to myself, you know.
No prison tattoos the day before.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And if you do, as long as you wait 3 months, that's enough time for us to find out whether you got an infection from it or not. You'll not feel well enough to donate at that point. Other things, we used to have deferral for mad cow disease. In other words, folks that lived in the UK or surrounding areas.
About 30 seconds. Cool.
Right. In those areas, you would get deferred. Now that's been overcome. So if there was reasons you couldn't donate before, I urge you to come back, find out, just go to a blood drive. They'll actually go through every deferral with you and see if possibly now you are able to donate when previously you weren't.
There's a screening process once you walk in.
Yes, correct. And we also check the hemoglobin, which is something we were talking about a little bit ago before, to make sure it's safe for you to donate.
Okay, more to come. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KJO Radio. And ladies and gentlemen, we want your blood. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call, 541-472-1270 is the number to call. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest today. Our guest today is Ace Ventura, not a pet detective, a member of the Red Cross, here talking about a current blood drive that's going on here in Southern Oregon. And once again, welcome to the microphones of KAJO. Ace Ventura. Ace, let's make a correction here because we've been announcing that the Table Rock campus was having a blood drive tomorrow, and that's not the case. That's been changed.
That is correct, yes.
All right. What are the corrections here?
Tomorrow, Wednesday, we will only be at the Grants Pass High School, and that's for students and family. Thursday, though, we will be in Medford at the RCC campus, Medford, there in downtown. Please come out and support that drive. That actually,
that's at the Higher Education Center.
That is correct.
Yes.
And that drive really can use some help. We only have about 5 donors, which is a really low number. We're hoping to get somewhere upwards of 30 to 40 donors at that drive. So if you got some time tomorrow, please come down.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, is that Thursday or tomorrow?
That's Thursday.
That's Thursday in the Medford campus of RCC there, the Higher Education Center. Get online and call right now. It's 1-800-RED-CROSS or redcrossblood.org and get your appointment made for that particular drive on Thursday, once again in downtown Medford. You mentioned that in Grants Pass High tomorrow, this is for students and teachers there. Does it include families?
Yes, parents of students that go to at Grants Pass High School can definitely sign up. Please talk to the administration and let them know that you'd like to come in and donate.
All right, give them a call there and make sure your children have all of the information that they need in order to take advantage of this. Do you have any idea what the sign-up there is at this point?
At the high school, we actually have a great sign-up. Grants Pass High School is one of our more successful blood drives. Those students are amazing.
Go cavemen!
And shout out to my son and the drama group that are actually leading this blood drive. They're doing a great job. So great job, GP High School, and Miss Cuppy, who is the drama instructor, who's been helping those students carry this drive on.
So you have a young thespian in your midst.
I do. And you know, it's funny. I saw the flyer for the upcoming drama that's coming up this next month in November, the play that goes wrong. Super excited to see him on there. I think he plays the role of Max, and he's super excited.
Oh, okay. We could get off on another tangent.
Yes, we could.
let's say on the blood drive, we were talking about things that could preclude you from giving blood right now, and let's recap some of that. And if you're concerned The best way to really find out, and there are lots of ways you can go online and figure it out, you can go to the Bud Drive itself, and once again, there's a screening process there, and it won't take you very long to find out yay or nay what's going on.
Correct. If you were deferred previously for whatever medical condition, I urge you to still go in, get screened one more time. Things have changed quite a bit. I mentioned a few of those things earlier, but the best way to know is to go. Now, if you don't, you're like, hey, I really don't have a lot of time to go in and do that, you can go to redcrossblood.org. There's a medication deferral list, or at least if you're taking some medication and you're not sure if that'll get you deferred.
So if you'd like to go, there is a way. You can double check.
Yes, there is a medication deferral list. If you go to redcrossblood.org, search medication deferral list, and it'll come up. It's not a huge list. So a lot of people that think, oh, I'm diabetic or I'm this or I'm that, I can't donate. You'd be surprised. Many of those can donate. So again, I urge anyone that in the past has been deferred for any reason, come back and see if you can. We don't want you to miss out on the opportunity to save a life and be a hero for someone.
You've mentioned a couple of things here. One, that 3-4% of the general populace donates, which is an incredibly low number in my mind. I can't get past that. You've also mentioned a couple of areas, and it looks like young people will thrive to give. If I'm interpreting that right, certainly at Grants Pass High. That's one example. And you also talked about a 91-year-old man who gave constantly. So is there a target group? Is there more information that we need to get out about what this is really all about? And how do we do that?
Absolutely. So one thing, just to name the age that we're in, I get the question a lot, is there an age limit, right? Some of my older folks, they'll come in and say, hey, is there an age limit? Because I'm X, Y, and Z age, right?
We're not checking IDs.
And I said, no. Really, it has to do with how you feel. If one of the first questions we ask, because we do a questionnaire as well to make sure it's safe for you to donate. But the very first question is, do you feel well today? If you're not feeling well, not a good idea to donate, right? But it doesn't matter the age you're at. You know, there are some underlying, you know, questions and things we need to go through that might get you deferred, but age is not a restriction for that. Like I mentioned, someone in their 90s can donate. And, you know, when I started at the Red Cross, I was like, how is that even possible? But no, absolutely, it's safe. As long as, you know, we answer all the questions correctly, we do the medical screening, and it does show that, hey, you're good to donate. You can absolutely can. One thing I did want to mention before, you know, I mentioned myself being terrified to donate and, my buddy that works at the sheriff's office being terrified to donate, right? And one of the things that we found, you know, in just kind of private conversations with men is the fear of passing out. One of the, you know, I don't want to look weak in front of others.
It's not manly.
Right.
It's not manly.
And so first of all, I want to debunk that if anyone was to pass out, that's your body trying to protect you, you know, from something terrible happening. So it has an automatic response, kind of that caveman part of your brain that goes, hey, I need to save your life. And that's usually triggered by people just getting a little panicked about what's going on. And so we found ways that we incorporate during blood drives to calm folks down. We do what's called a blood buddy, especially at high schools with students, where many of them are first-time donors, where a blood buddy will just be there having a conversation. Just recently, we had our first blood drive at SOU in 17 years, and I had one of the dean of students. She was one of our last donors on the first day, and she was terrified. It was her first time donating. Really nervous. And I said, hey, I'll sit here with you and we'll have a conversation while you go through the blood donating process. She went and did her master's and her doctorate in Nigeria. And, she was sharing her story about what they were studying and what they were doing out there. Incredibly great conversation. But before she knew it, her donation was over. And she was like, wow, that really wasn't bad at all. It's not what I imagined in my mind. And so again, for those of you that might have fear or concerns about passing out or, you know, having a bad reaction, I'm not going to say they don't happen, but we've had ways to really reduce that. And one of those is keeping people's mind away from what's happening. Because what tends to happen is if they start thinking about it a little too much, they kind of get that part of their brain that says, hey, I'm in danger, something bad's happening. then it starts to realize that blood is coming out of the body. So the brain says, hey, I need to save this person's life. So blood pressure will start going down because it wants to stop you from bleeding out. Because of your panic, it's thinking something bad is really happening. So that's really one of the big ways we stop people from having a reaction, is just kind of keeping them calm, having a conversation, keeping them distracted. And then once they're done, usually after their first donation, they realize like, wow, that was no big deal. The next time they come in, it's a little easier. And the next time, so on and so forth. The same thing happened to me.
First time donor. Do I get a giving buddy to sit down with, or am I treated just a little bit differently than a veteran?
So when I shared my story, right, I told her what I needed, and I told her I was afraid. Don't be afraid to say that to your phlebotomist. They run into that all the time, and we have some of the best people working for us that are kind, and if you let them know, they will accommodate you, and they'll take care of you, and they'll make sure that it's a pleasant experience. Just make sure to communicate. Just say, hey, you know, I'm a little afraid. They'll take a little extra time with you. They'll explain things a little more thoroughly, and they'll make sure they accommodate to your needs.
The situation being, I'm afraid. I'm a first time giver. Once I get through that first time, do I become a constant giver then? Once you get that first one out of the way, does that make them usually easier to get in the second time?
You know, as a blood, as a Red Cross vampire, so to speak.
It's almost Halloween, folks.
Right.
Forgive us. We're having fun.
Right. I definitely hope so. What we do is we have a thing called Book Now, where we would like, before you leave, to go ahead and book your next appointment. And that makes it completely easy to do. A lot of times folks say, well, you have to wait 56 days. If you're just doing a regular whole blood donation, it's 56 days out. And so a lot of times folks will be apprehensive about setting an appointment out 56 days later. What I do is I like to encourage people to still set the appointment. Because more times than not, if that appointment is there, kind of like at your doctor's office, you'll find a way to make it happen. You won't book something during that time. Where if you did it the other way around, you might just book something during that time and then realize like, oh, I can't make it because I already have something in place there. So we want to do that backwards. Make sure that you're coming in and being a regular donor. Now, I mentioned men having some fears because, you know, we don't want to look weak. And again, it's not weak if you do. But the reality is the likelihood of you passing out is very, 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 very small. I can't put an actual number to it, but let's put it this way. It's been a while since I've seen someone pass out of a blood drive. And you're talking to someone here that was very terrified himself, and I didn't. And I thought for sure I was. So again, don't let fear hold you back from saving a life and being a hero. You know, not all of us get to be the fireman that gets to, you know, to go into a burning house, you know, or do something extremely heroic. But I'm going to tell you right now, you can be a hero by donating blood today.
All right. Hold on, please. We have a caller coming into our studio right now. Say, good morning. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for our guests?
Well, actually, Chuck, it's me, Kathy Callis.
Oh,
and I wanted to say, yeah, I am down here at the blood drive right now at Rogue Community College, and I'm pleasantly surprised to say that they're just getting everything all set up. But between myself, there's three of us here that are all ready to donate blood. So I got to go through the health screening, make sure that, you know, I'm all good to be able to do this, but I'm going to put on my big girl panties and be super brave and donate blood today. And so I just really wanted to encourage everybody else to come and do that. It's at the Student Center, which is really easy to find. Like, if you just drive, like, you're going to go to the RCC Bowl, park right there in the parking lot and walk right down the hill. You can't miss it. It's where the cafeteria is. And like I said, they're just getting everything finalized, set up and stuff, but really easy. Everybody here is really nice. And they told me that when you get checked in, you do a health screening, which maybe it takes the longest part, about 10 minutes, and then they get you back there to donate if you're all good, and within 5 to 7 minutes, you're done and out. So I feel like everybody has enough time to get that done today, and I'm just really excited. I have donated blood in the past, but it's been a lot of years. So, you know, I'm thinking this could be a good new habit for me.
I would say so. Now, tell me about the screening process. Have you already gone through it, Cassie?
No, I wanted to make sure I got ahead and called because I know that the talk show wraps up at 10:30. But they sit down with you, and it's just a questionnaire. They do a little drop of blood to check your hemoglobin to make sure that, you know, you have enough. They're not going to deplete you and you pass out or something like that. So it's relatively simple. But, yeah, I'm about to do that here in a few minutes and then get on in there and donate.
So you've donated before. What's your blood type?
Well, I got the good one that everybody wants. I got that universal O blood.
Oh, everybody wants your blood, don't they?
That's right. So, yeah. And, you know, the rare ones, too, though, they need those as well. So no matter what you are, I highly encourage you to come on down here to the Redwood campus today at RCC and donate. They're making it really easy on you.
All right. Cassie, thank you very much. Appreciate not only your time, but your donation.
Absolutely. All right, you too. Have a great rest of your day. And, hey, come on out and see me guys out here at RCC and donate.
All right. Thank you very much. Cassie Callis, one of our own right now, heard regularly on KLDR. That's their next-door neighbor. And on KRRM, two of our sister stations here, and occasionally on KAJO radio. And we like to have her more. In the meantime, though, back to our studio here. So she's a brave girl. She's stepping right up, done it before, and does it again. But she said it's been a while. It's been a while for me, too, and I probably need to go through the situation of checking that website to see what medications would preclude me from donating. In the meantime, though... Why should I go? And let me see. You said 56 days between donations, so you could actually give blood six times a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to take a second to thank our consistent donors here in the Valley, in all of, you know, Jackson and Josephine County, which are part of my territory here. I get to see these folks come in every 2 months, consistently give. So if you're one of those, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the countless years of donations, for coming in and giving of your time and of your blood, for having patience when there's times where we are short-staffed, which happens, and for, you know, maybe having a little bit longer of a wait time, which, you know, I just want to thank you all for being consistent and regular donors here. Grants Pass, where I live, there is a great group of donors here, so thank you to all my Grants Pass donors, to all the Medford donors, and everyone in Ashland, and again, in all the surrounding counties and cities. Thank you so much for what you do. I did want to say, you know, we were mentioning a little bit about time, right? Make sure to take out an hour to do this. The actual blood draw, because a lot of times when you say it takes an hour, that you think you're going to be plugged up to a machine for an hour or something like that, and that's not true. Usually a blood draw takes only about 5 to 7 minutes. It could take upwards to 10. Usually that's a really low flow and that we don't run into that very often. But usually the part where you're actually giving blood is only 5 to 7 minutes. The rest of it is making sure it's safe for you to donate. We take our time. We prepare your arm. We sanitize the arm. We double check the vein. We make sure we're going to get a good stick, and that it's going to be painless and easy for you. You know, a lot of folks think of giving blood more like when they go to the doctor's office, right? And they have to do labs. And we are not in a hurry. We have to prepare that blood to be given to someone else. So we take our time. We want to make sure it is a clean unit that's collected. It's a safe amount. You should feel absolutely normal after giving blood. Because we do not take more than, you know, would be safe to, for you to get up and feel great afterward, right? A lot of men, going back to the men thing again, you know, it, first of all, it's not weak to be a little scared. Actually, you know, what do they say? Courage is still standing up and doing something, even though there's fear.
In spite of the fear,
right? So I am calling out all my courageous men out there, right? And women.
He has dropped the gauntlet, folks.
Right? Be courageous. You know, you don't bleed for very long. And then number three, there's a lot of men that are going through maybe testosterone therapy treatments. We'll get a lot of those folks that come in because their doctor told them to donate. And a lot of times maybe they're not on TRT, which is testosterone replacement therapy, but they just have high levels of hemoglobin. So you run into both, right? You have low hemoglobin, you have high hemoglobin. High hemoglobin is just as dangerous as having low. It's the reason why a lot of times, you know, and I'm generally speaking here, men tend to have more heart issues, and it's because the blood becomes sludge. It becomes too thick, too viscous, because there's too much hemoglobin in there. There's too much iron in the blood. So a lot of times we'll get people that come in and say, my doctor told me to come donate. So earlier to kind of mention, is it healthy? For some folks, it is. And I don't want to carpet statement that, because for some folks, it's not. You know, if somebody has too low hemoglobin, maybe not a good idea. But does that mean you can't do something? Because for me, my mission goes beyond just doing blood. And it's really about bringing communities together to do for others, to uplift those in need. you know, Red Cross has disaster services, humanitarian services, where we do things, you know, where we have local fires here and we provide housing and meals for folks that are displaced. Same thing during hurricane seasons. So if you find yourself wanting to make a difference and you realize, like, hey, my hemoglobin's too low, or I'm taking a medication that's going to defer me, that doesn't mean you can't do something. I run into that at high schools a lot, because I might have girls that are just too small to donate. They don't have enough body volume or blood volume to donate blood, because they're too young and too small. Talking about that, we did mention age before, so I'm going to jump on a tangent here, but 16 is the youngest that you can donate blood, and that's with parental consent. You will need a parental consent form at 16. Anyone 17 and over can come in and donate without a parental consent, but 16 is the youngest. That's the only age restriction we have.
All right. From what I hear, why don't you get a buddy? And you may find some buddies there. And it might be like the fair where you only see them once a year when you come to donate.
Right.
Or every 2 months when you come to donate.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to give you another 3 minutes here.
Okay.
Right to the end of our program. Overriding reason why I should donate blood today.
Because it's the right thing to do. It's changed my life. It took my life in a whole nother trajectory and in a whole nother place, for myself. But every single donor I run into on those beds donating, and the ones that have done it for years and years and years, it brings a sense of fulfillment, because truthfully, at the end of the day, all of us are social beings. And we have an innate want to matter, to make a difference, to know that we provide for the tribe, that we are giving back, right? A lot of folks like myself, at one point in my life, I realized I just was wanting for myself what I wanted. And I felt a big emptiness. And so for a lot of folks, that might say, I don't know what my life or my meaning of my life is, or, you know, they're trying to seek that emptiness, right? To fulfill that. And a lot of times we focus on what we want, what we need. And I want to get the community to realize, like, you know, that emptiness really is that need and want to matter to your community, to matter to those around you and make a difference. And so not every day does everyone get the opportunity to save a life, but you are literally saving a life by donating blood. I don't know how many more chances we get to spend 1 hour and do that.
You mentioned that one thing that was very important to you was that you heard back that your blood was used for a young person in Bend, Oregon. Every donor doesn't get to hear that, or at least that's been my experience.
So this is something newer. So mm-hmm. If you're a donor that hasn't donated for some time, this is something newer that they've put in place to at least let you know. Now, due to HIPAA laws, they can't give you who it was given to exactly or dispel a lot of information. But at least you'll find out, like, what hospital or what city your blood was donated. And I cannot tell you the fulfilling feeling I had. As a human being, I mean, my eyes literally watered just imagining knowing that that blood went to someone else and it saved a life.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ventura. We appreciate it. Once again, let's run down here what we have for you. The blood drive is continuing this afternoon. Well, right now through 3:30 this afternoon, through 4 this afternoon at the Student Center on the Redwood campus, 3345 Redwood Highway. If you've heard about the blood drive at the Table Rock campus tomorrow, that is canceled. However, Grants Pass parents and students tomorrow at the high school will be able to give. You might check with the administration before showing up there. And the Thursday, the drive moves to the Higher Education Center on the Riverside campus at 101 South Bartlett Street in Medford. Walk-ins are always welcome. You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org. Thank you. And once again, we want your blood. Give it freely.
Did you know that